يلتهب كل جمعة قلبي واقرأ لك يا المهد ندبة أبي رضوى أم سواها أنت يا أغلى الأحبة أنت يا أغلى الأحبة وتدري بفراق الحبايب غربة يا مهدينا غربة تدري بفراق الحبايب غربة يا مهدينا غربة.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على أشرف الخلق وعز المرسلين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيد الخلائق أجمعين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سفن النجاة وعين الحياة، من طهرهم الله بنص كتابه المبين وجعل اللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Tonight إن شاء الله we will start the second part of this series of lectures. The first part, just a quick reminder of what we spoke about. Number one, we spoke about the martyrdom of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam and how he prepared the believers to follow the 12 Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. The second point that we spoke about is Imam al-Mahdi in the narrations. We gave the proofs on the existence of the Imam, we spoke about his long age and the title of Imam al-Mahdi. Then we spoke about the philosophy behind the occultation of the Imam. And last week we spoke about Imam al-Mahdi in the Quran. We mentioned two verses in the Quran and we linked them to the uprising of the Imam Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. So, this was the first part of the series of lectures. The second part will be about the occultation of the Imam. And then the third part, inshallah, when we finish this part, we'll speak about the signs of the reappearance of the Imam. So inshallah, tonight we will try to cover three points in our discussion. Number one, how many occultations do we have for the Imam? The second point, how was the situations at the beginning of the minor occultation? The situations in the nation, how was it? And number three, we will speak about the four representatives of Imam al-Mahdi. But before we start, please recite Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
It is mentioned in the book of Al-Shaykh al-Tusi, Radwanullahi alayhi, Kitab al-Ghayba, page 102. He narrated a narration from Imam al-Sadiq, Salawatullahi alayhi, that he said, إِنَّا لِصَاحِبِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ غَيْبَتَيْنِ. For the owner of this matter, referring to Imam al-Mahdi, the owner of this time, or the owner of this matter, there we have two occultations. وَاحِدَةٌ قَصِيرًا وَالْأُخْرَى طَوِيلًا. A minor occultation and a major occultation. So we have two occultations for Imam al-Mahdi, a minor occultation, al-Ghayb al-Sughra, and a major occultation, al-Ghayb al-Kubra. Now the difference between the minor occultation and the major occultation is That is that in the minor occultation, itself didn't continue that long. It was only for 7 years, or 74 years, according to different opinions on when did it start. Did it start from the birth of the Imam al-Mahdi? Did it start from the martyrdom of the Imam? Did it start after the martyrdom of the Imam? We have different opinions. So according to the different opinions that we have, the minor occultation continued from 70 years till 74 years. That's it. While the major occultation, Al-Ghayb al-Kubra, is still continuing till our days. And it will continue till, mashallah. That's the first difference between the minor and the major. The second difference between the minor occultation and the major occultation is that in the minor occultation we have four representatives that are appointed by the Imam directly. In the minor, we have four representatives that are appointed by the Imam directly. While in the major occultation, we don't have any representative for the Imam who is appointed by him directly. And inshallah, we'll speak about the major occultation later on when we finish from the first part. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. So that's the two differences between the minor and the major. Now, before we speak about the representatives of the Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, it is important to take a look at the situation in the nation at the beginning of the minor occultation. In the beginning of the minor occultation, Al-Ghayb al-Sughra, the Abbasi government was very weak and it was controlled mainly by the Turks. There was other people in power, but the most people who controlled the Abbasi government were the Turks. They controlled the government from the economic side. They forced their politics in the Abbasi government, and they controlled the army to the extent that they used to sit at night, the Turks, and challenge who is able to change the ruler. They have a game between each other, and they say to each other, who is able to change the ruler of Bani al-Abbas? And then the second day, they will change it. For example, we have Al-Mu'tadid al-Abbasi. Al-Mu'tadid al-Abbasi, he was an oppressor and a tyrant. He did not sleep until he used to see blood. He had a disease, or a mental disease, like Al-Hajjaj, la'natullahi alayhima. He couldn't sleep until he see the blood. But with that, Al-Mu'tadid al-Abbasi decided to force the clerics to curse Muawiyah and Yazid at the beginning of every Friday khutbah. He said, why did Muawiyah order the people to curse Ali ibn Abi Talib? I will make the clerics curse Muawiyah. Hello, he doesn't care about Muawiyah or Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's not a follower of Ali. But he just thought that I want to do that to Muawiyah. The Turks didn't like this. He's the ruler of the Abbasid government. But the Turks, they didn't like that from Al-Mu'tadid. So they came to end the problem, they killed him. Without even thinking about what's going to happen after him. That's how powerful they were at the time of the minor occultation. Al-Muqtadir al-Abbasi. Also, the Turks waited for him to go out with his friends. He went out having a picnic or whatever. So they separated him from his friends and they killed him. Even the other one is Al-Qahir al-Abbasi. Al-Qahir al-Abbasi stayed a ruler for only 48 hours. The Turks sat down and said, we don't like this guy, Al-Qahir al-Abbasi, let's take him out. They took him out. That's how powerful they were. Also during the time, at the beginning of the minor occultation, the city of the Abbasi government moved from Samarra, or Surra Manra, back then it was called, to Baghdad. It moved from Samarra to Baghdad. So that's from the political side. From another side, a lot of people at the beginning of the minor occultation claimed al-Mahdawiyya, claimed that they are the Mahdis. They are the Mahdi. The first one is Ubaydullah ibn al-Hasan. Ubaydullah ibn al-Hasan. How did he become the Mahdi? A guy from al-Yaman, from Banu al-Aghlab. Banu al-Aghlab. His name is Abdullah ibn al-Husayn, the second guy. The first guy is Ubaydullah ibn al-Hasan, the second guy, Abdullah ibn al-Husayn. He came from al-Yaman, he had wealth, he had power. He controlled some countries. The second guy, Abdullah ibn al-Husayn, controlled some countries in west of Africa. And he came to Ubaydullah ibn al-Hasan. He said to him, that's the money, that's everything I have. You are the Mahdi. We want to follow you. So he said, oh, there's people, there's an army, there's followers, there's money, there's a chair. They are giving me everything. I accept, I'll become the Mahdi. I'll sell my religion, I'll sell my beliefs, and I follow them. SubhanAllah, in every time we have such people. He said, yes, I am the Mahdi, he believed the lie, and he followed them. They tried to enter to Egypt twice, they failed. Then he went to another Morocco, and he lived there in a place called, until, I don't know if it's until now, but it was called back then Al-Mahdiyya, the place, and he died there. So that was the first person who claimed al-Mahdawiyya in the minor occultation. Then we have another group who are called al-Qaramita. Al-Qaramita, this group they claim that they return back to Ismail, the son of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi. Ismail, the son of Ja'far al-Sadiq. And they claim that Ismail is the Mahdi and that he is still alive and he was living in the Roman Empire and he doesn't need to eat or to drink because he is the Mahdi. That's what they believed in. And then they believed that the son of Ismail, who was called Muhammad the son of Ismail, he is a prophet. They believed in him as a prophet and they followed him. This group, their first enemy are the followers of Musa ibn Ja'far, salawatullahi alayhima, yani the Shia. And that's why they killed a lot of the Shia. Their first enemy are the Shia. They killed a lot of them. One of their beliefs is that they say the world is created of 12 islands. And in every island, we have a hujjah, a proof that we call Al-Ab, the father. And under the hujjah, the Al-Ab, we have Al-Da'i, the preacher. And we call the preacher Al-Um, the mother. So we have the father, the mother, and then the Holy Son under it. We have the third one under the preacher. They call him Al-Yad, the hand, and they give him the title of the son or the child. So they have the father. They control the parts of the Islamic nation for a while, and they prevented people from going to Hajj. Once they went, and they found some people performing Hajj around the Kaaba. So they came and slaughtered them around the Kaaba, and then they came and threw them in Bir Zamzam. And they took the black stone to a place called Hajar, and it stayed there for about 30 years, the black stone. No one was able to return it back to the Kaaba. Al-Qaramita are the second people, or the second group, who claimed al-Mahdawiyya to a certain person, Ismail ibn al-Imam Sadiq. Then they claim that his son is a prophet. Sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this is only a quick look at the situation at the beginning of the minor occultation. What I'm trying to do is to summarize the whole topic of the minor occultation in this lecture, to finish from it, inshallah, tonight. Or if you want to speak in details, it's going to take us, mashallah, more than two lectures. But we'll try to limit it into one lecture. Wa alaykum as-salam. Now we have four representatives for the Imam, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, during the minor occultation. And for every one, there are certain representatives for him. Four representatives for the Imam, and under the four representatives, they have different representatives or employees. If we want to make the idea of as-safar al-khassa easier to understand, we can say that as-safar al-khassa is like the embassy. Same as we have embassies today for different countries. The Imam had an embassy, and the ambassador was the safir, the representative of the Imam. He was the ambassador of the Imam, representing the Imam. Whatever he say, it is the saying of the Imam. And then under this ambassador or the safir, there are the employees who help him out. Now, history didn't mention a lot about the obligations of the representatives. History didn't mention much about the obligations that the Imam gave to his representatives. Only mentioned that they used to collect the money, the khumus, from the people, and they used to give the Imam the questions of the people. People used to send the questions to the representative of the Imam, and this guy used to send it to the Imam and wait for the response. When the response comes from the Imam, he used to get it and give it to people. That's the only work that the history showed that those representatives did. But of course they had other things to do. Allah knows what. The obligation that we can understand from other narrations, the obligation of the representatives was to lead the Islamic nation. To lead the Islamic nation in the different dimensions. In the religious dimension, in the political dimension, and so on. And their authority was not limited. The Sufara, the four representatives of the Imam, they had to perform taqiyya. Taqiyya, the meaning of taqiyya is to hide the truth. When you are scared from death or scared on a certain thing, you use taqiyya. At the beginning of the minor occultation, they had to use taqiyya to the higher extent. For example, the third safir for the Imam, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, he used to always sit with people from different school of thoughts, just to stay safe from the Abbasi government. So once he was sitting down, and some people from different school of thoughts were having a debate together. They were having a debate as who is better after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, who is better, the first or Ali ibn Abi Talib? And the third safir of Imam Mahdi was sitting down listening. Then they agreed that the first oppressor is better than Ali ibn Abi Talib. Wal'iyadu billah. Then they had another debate as who is better after them. So they came and asked the third safir of Imam al-Mahdi. They asked him, who do you think is better? How is he going to respond? If he said to them, may Allah curse the first and the second and the third, they will kill him. Right? If he said to them, Ali ibn Abi Talib is better than all of them and is better than the prophets, not from the companions, also they will kill him and they will know that he's a Rafidi, as they call them. So what he did is he used taqiyya. He said, the companions agreed. The companions, according to them, the companions, they agreed that the first, the second, and the third are better than Ali ibn Abi Talib. They ran to him, they started to kiss his hand, and saying, may Allah curse those who claim that you are a Rafidi. They stood, those people stood and defended him in front of the Abbasi government. So they had to use taqiyya. Now don't use this story and say we have to be the same, because there's different ruling for taqiyya in every time and in every place, right? Back then the taqiyya was in the higher level, but now it doesn't have to be in the same level. It depends where you live and the situation in your country. You have to return back to the faqih and take your obligation from him to see what does it tell you and do it. Sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Who are the representatives of the Imam? The first representative, his name is Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Asadi. He was one of the servants of Imam al-Hadi, salawatullahi alayhi. And after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hadi, he became one of the representatives of Imam al-Askir, salawatullahi alayhi. Imam al-Hadi said about Ibn Sa'id, he said about him, about the first Safir, as it is mentioned in the book Al-Ghaybah, page 354. He said, even his title, هذا أبو عمرو, الثقة الأمين, the trustworthy, ما قاله لكم فعني قال, whatever he said to you is from my behalf. It is like I am saying to you. وَمَا أَدَّاهُ فَعَنِّي يُؤَدِّيهِ, and whatever he fulfilled is from our behalf. That's Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam al-Askari salamullah alayhi, also it is narrated that he said about Ibn Sa'id, the first Safir, he said, هذا أبو عمرو الثقة الأمين, he is the trustworthy, ثقة الماضي, the trusted one of the past of my father, الإمام الهادي, وثقتي في المحيا والممات, and my trusted in my life and after my death. فما قاله لكم فعني يقوله, وما أدى لكم فعني يؤدي, whatever he says, it is on my behalf, and whatever he fulfills is from my behalf. So that's, you can take these narrations as an appointment from Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Askari for Ibn Sa'id to be the first Safir of the Imam al-Mahdi. Because he said, in my life and after my death, he will stay my trusted one. And you have to concentrate how Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam and Imam al-Askari salawatullahi alayhi, they made the Ummah return back to a certain people. They made the Ummah during the time of Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Askari return back to who? To Ibn Sa'id. And then they made sure that Ibn Sa'id become the first Safir of Imam al-Mahdi. So it becomes easier on the people to follow him. Why? Because they know that this guy is trusted by the Imam, salawatullahi alayhi. Now some people during the time of the first Safir, during the time of Uthman ibn Sa'id, some people claim to be the representatives of the Imam. They claim that they represent the Imam. One of them, or the first one of them, is called Abu Muhammad al-Shari'i or Shura'i, who was from the companions of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. He was from the companions of Imam al-Hadi, but then he claimed to be the first Safir. After that, a letter came out from Imam al-Mahdi cursing him, and people left him. Now, how can we distinguish between the true claim and the false claim? If we have a person saying that I represent Imam al-Mahdi, and another guy is saying I represent Imam al-Mahdi, how can we distinguish who is the true person and who is lying? We can do that through three points. Number one, through the narrations that we mentioned from Imam al-Hadi and al-Askari. If Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Askari, salawatullahi alayhima, said that Uthman ibn Sa'id is the one that we trust after in our life and after our death, then we have to follow who? Ibn Sa'id. Because whatever, as the Imam said, whatever he says, it is on my behalf. So we have to follow him. That's one of the ways to know who is the true person and who is lying. The second way to know is through the writing and the stamp of the Imam. For 70 years, the time of the minor occultation, all the letters came out with the same writing. If you want to say that the first Safir, he was writing the letters, and the second Safir, because he was his son, was writing the same letters, then what about the other Safara? For 70 years, the letters were coming out with the same writing and with the same stamp. And no one from those who claimed to be the Safara, the representatives of Imam al-Mahdi, came out with a letter or they had a writing similar or even close to the writing of the Imam. No one of them. Or even the stamp of the Imam. No one of them. That's the second way to prove who is the true claim from the false claim. And then the third way to prove is through the unseen youth. The Imam, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, used to write in his letters some of the unseen news that will happen in the future. No one from those who claim that they are the Sufara came with ilm al-ghayb, with the unseen news, except the Sufara, the four Sufara of Imam al-Mahdi. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The lecture is very long, so when you're tired, tell me to stop. Right? Then we can continue next week, inshallah. Because I don't really care about how long the lecture is, I want you to understand what is in the lecture and benefit, inshallah. Because then I'll get more rewards, and you'll get rewards, inshallah, for understanding, and not only for listening. And as I said before, I don't want the lecture to be from one side. Even if you have a question in the middle of the lecture, stop me and ask me. Because then maybe I said something wrong, you tell me and I'll change it. Then we'll benefit altogether. Another person who claimed to be the representative of the Imam, and this guy is a Musiba. His name is Muhammad ibn Nusayr al-Numayri al-Fihri. Sure, what's wrong? He was one of the companions of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. This guy, al-Musayri, was one of the companions of Imam al-Askari. Then in the minor occultation, he claimed to represent Imam al-Mahdi. He said, I represent Imam al-Mahdi. Then he went to Iraq, and some people followed him, followed his beliefs. Imam al-Mahdi, he sent a letter with the first Safir, cursing this guy, al-Nusayr, cursing him, saying that this guy is a liar. What to do? You don't follow al-Nusayr anymore. By the way, outside of the lectures with this guy, Muhammad ibn Nusayr al-Numayri, I answered the question about whether the Alawis are all Nusayris or not. And I said that not all the Alawis are Nusayris, right? And we can't claim that all the Alawis are Nusayris. Some of them have similar beliefs as the Shia. So don't worry, we're not attacking you on that. So al-Nusayri, he was one of Imam al-Askari's companions. Then when he claimed to be representing the Imam, and the Imam sent a letter saying that this guy is a liar, he said to them, listen, I don't believe in the old representation of the Imam. I don't believe that there's a guy representing the Imam. I don't believe in this. What do you believe in? He said, I'm a prophet. And there is a God who is Al-Imam Ali al-Hadi alayhi salam. He is God and I am his prophet. He sent me to you. When he saw that people are actually following him and believing in what he's saying, he said to them, now I became higher than before. What did you become? Allah knows. He became higher than before. So people followed him and he misguided a lot of them. And he came with some extreme views with the Imams, especially Imam Ali, salawatullahi alayhi, claiming that he is God and so on. They believed, one of his beliefs, he used to believe in reincarnation or tanasuh and other extreme things. So the first safir of the Imam Ibn Sa'id, he died year 265 and he was buried in Iraq in Baghdad in a street called Shari' al-Maidan, and he stayed as a safir for the Imam for only 5 years. The first safir. When you go to Iraq, inshaAllah, visit this guy, al-Safir al-Awwal, and visit all the sufara of Imam al-Mahdi. They have done a lot to the Shia, and it is important to mention them, or even in your majalis, when you do the Fatiha, do a special Fatiha for the four sufara of Imam al-Mahdi. Ajallallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. So this is the first safir. The second one, his name is Muhammad bin Uthman ibn Sa'id, the son of the first Safir. He was the second person to represent Imam al-Mahdi, the second Safir of Imam al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Sa'id. Imam al-Askari, alayhi salam, said, Al-Amriyu wabnahu thiqatan fama addaya anni yuaddiyan. Referring to both of them, to the father and the son, they are trusted by us. Whatever they fulfill is on our behalf or from our behalf. So he was appointed, him and his son, through who? Through Imam al-Askari alayhi as-salam. Now look at this letter from Imam al, or listen to this letter from Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, to Muhammad ibn Uthman after the death of his father. After the death of his father, Imam al-Mahdi sent him a letter. He said, إِنَّ لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Imam al-Mahdi is saying, تَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِهِ, submitting to the command of Allah, وَرِضًا بِقَضَائِهِ. عَاشَ أَبُوكَ سَعِيدًا. Your father lived happily. وَمَاتَ حَمِيدًا. And he died with praise. And it is long. He said, Imam al-Mahdi then said, Ruzita wa Ruzina, you became sad and we became sad from the loss of your father. SubhanAllah. Yani, look at the status of Uthman ibn Sa'id, for the Imam, for the Ma'soom to say, Ruzita wa Ruzina. Wa awhashaka furaqahu wa awhashana furaqah. You feel lonely after him and we feel lonely after him, after losing him. What, where did he reach? What kind of person was Uthman ibn Sa'id? Allah knows. For the Imam to say this word. Then he said to him, وَكَانَ مِنْ كَمَالِ سَعَادَتِهِ أَنْ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ وَلَدًا مِثْلَكَ. From the happiness that he had, from the happiness that Allah gave him, or from the pleasures that Allah gave him, is a son like you, like Muhammad ibn Uthman. Until the Imam said, Alhamdulillah, فَإِنَّ الْأَنْفُسْ طَيِّبَ بِمَكَانِ. The souls are happy from you. The Imam is saying to you, to Muhammad ibn Sa'id, فَإِنَّ الْأَنْفُسْ طَيِّبَ بِمَكَانِكَ. The souls are happy from you. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And what Allah made for you. What Allah made for you, referring to what? To appointing Muhammad ibn Sa'id as the second Safir of the Imam. So the appointment was by who? By the Imam? No, by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the letter is very long. But the main point here is how Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallah ta'ala farajhahu al-sharif, spoke about Uthman ibn Sa'id, and then how he said that Allah is the one who is appointing you as my second safir. Now the second safir stayed longer than the other three sufara. He stayed for 40 years as the safir of Imam al-Mahdi. His father stayed for 5 years. Muhammad ibn Uthman ibn Sa'id stayed for 40 years as the safir of the Imam. He died year 305 or 304. Imam al-Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajhahu al-sharif, informed him when he will die, the day of his death, and so on, for Muhammad ibn Sa'id. Then he was buried in Bab al-Kufa, in a place called now Sahatul Khallani, or Khallani. During the second safir of the Imam, some people also claimed to be the representatives of the Imam. They claimed that we represent the Imam. One of them is Ahmad bin Hilal al-Karki. This guy was a follower of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. During the time, or actually from the time of Imam al-Ruda alayhi salam to the time of Imam al-Mahdi, he was one of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. And he was one of the scholars also. And even during the time of the first Safir, during the time of Uthman ibn Sa'id, he was still a believer, Al-Karfi. And he was one of the representatives of Uthman ibn Sa'id. See how we said that the Sufara, they have some representative. This guy, Ahmad bin Hilal al-Karfi, was one of the representatives of who? Of the first Safir. During the time of the second Safir, he became misguided. He left the path and he claimed that I represent the Imam. He went to the Kufa and some people followed him. And even when the Safir of the Imam, the person who represents the Imam, the second Safir, cursed him, he didn't listen. And even when the letter came out from the Imam cursing him, he didn't listen. This guy was not a normal person. This guy, he lived with from Imam Ruda to the Imam al-Mahdi. And he went to Hajj 54 times. 20 times he went to Hajj walking. And he was very close to the Ahlul Bayt. But how did he end his life? This should be a lesson for us to see that even if a person is very knowledgeable, he's got knowledge and he's done a lot for the sake of Islam, but he might get misguided. And we should pray to Allah to keep us on the straight path. We should say, Allahumma thabbitna ala wilayati Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam bi haqqi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The third representative of the Imam, his name is Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, Rudwanullahi alayh. He was one of the representatives of Muhammad ibn Uthman. He was one of the representatives of the second Safir. Then he became the third Safir of the Imam. He went through a lot of problems, and we mentioned in the beginning the story of him with the people from different school of thought and how he performed taqiyya with them. A lot of people also during his time claimed to be the representatives of the Imam. One of those who claimed to be the representatives of the Imam is Al-Husayn ibn Mansur al-Hallaj, la'natullahi alayhi, this guy. One of his famous sayings, this guy, ma tahta al-jibba illa Allah, wa liyadu billah, that there is nothing under my clothes other than Allah. وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And this is nothing other than kufr, to believe in this. What can we say? Anyway, such a belief is nothing other than kufr. And those who follow this belief, we can't call them Muslims. To believe that everything that exists is Allah, that's kufr. And it's worse than denying the Imam. Because then you are destroying the Tawheed, the most important point in Islam. Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, Radwanullah alayh, he cursed the Hallaj. And then the Imam cursed the Hallaj. Because whatever the Safir say, it is from the Imam. And we mentioned the narration from Imam al-Askari and Imam al-Hajj. With that, we'll still find some people who try to justify for al-Hallaj. And they try to defend al-Hallaj. And Allah knows why. If he is cursed by the Safir of the Imam, Ajallallah ta'ala farajahu shariif, he's cursed from the Imam of your time, and you respect him, we have to think about what we are following. Another one who claimed to be the representative of the Imam during the time of Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, his name is Muhammad bin Ali al-Shalmaghani. This guy was a pious believer and also he was a scholar. And he wrote some books in history. Then he became misguided. He used to believe in reincarnation also, in at-tanasukh. And he says that the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was in Uthman ibn Sa'id, the first Safir. And the soul of Imam Ali is in Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, the third Safir. And the soul of Sayyidatun Nisa al-Alamin Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam is in Umm Kulthum al-Kubra, the daughter of Uthman ibn Sa'id, the first Safir. He believed in this, in at-tanasukh. I mentioned to you a story that happened with Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Uthman ibn Sa'id. Once she went to visit someone from Bani al-Bastan. She went and then an old lady came and she wanted to clean the feet of Umm Kulthum, to wash the feet of Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Uthman. So Umm Kulthum said to her, "What's happening? You are an old lady. Why do you want to come and wash my feet?" She says, "Because you are Fatima al-Zahra." They used to follow the Shalmaghani, this guy. So Umm Kulthum went and she told Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, radwanullah alayh. He cursed him. When he cursed him and a letter came from the Imam also cursing him, I'll see if I'll get, I'll have the letter. Yeah, I'll have the letter, I'll mention it later. When the Imam cursed him, Al-Shalmaghani, he started to cry in front of the people from happiness. They said to him, "Why are you crying from happiness? You should be sad." He said, "No, you don't understand the meaning of this letter. Al-La'an, cursing Al-La'an means that Al-Husayn ibn Ruh is praying for me to stay away. Al-La'an, bima'na al-ib'aad. Cursing means to stay away. And Al-Husayn ibn Ruh is praying for me to stay away from fire. So he's praising me in this letter." And he was a scholar. And the scholars, mashallah, they know how to justify for themselves. And whatever they believed in him, they said, "Mashallah, he's praising you." Yes, true. إِذَا صَلُحَ الْعَالَمُ صَلُحَتْ الْأُمَّةِ مَضْمُونًا. When you have a pious alim, a pious scholar, then the people will be pious. The people will have a good community. But when the scholars are misguided, then what kind of community will we have? Allah knows. Imam al-Mahdi wrote a letter against al-Shalmaghani. He said in his letter, "Inna Muhammad bin Ali al-Ma'ruf al-Shalmaghani, wa huwa mimman ajjala Allah lahu al-Niqma, wa la amhalahu qad irtadda 'ala al-Islam." He became a disbeliever. "Wa faraqahu al-haq fi din Allah, And then the Imam said, I'll translate the other part, وَلَعَنَّاهُ. The Imam is saying, وَلَعَنَّاهُ عَلَيْهِ لَعَائِنُ اللَّهِ. And we cursed him, may Allah cursed him, تَقْرَى, from now to the end of the time, مِنَ الظَّاهِرِ وَالْبَاطِنِ وَفِي السَّرِّ وَالْعَلَمِ وَفِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ وَعَلَى أَيِّ حَقٍ. Meaning, altogether, that may Allah curse him at every time, at every place, from now to the Day of Judgment. And inshallah, we'll do a separate lecture about the meaning of al-la'an, because la'an is not sab, is not swearing, otherwise the Imam wouldn't use it, right? To use la'an. And there's no problem to do la'an, because the Imam, alayhi salam, he performed it. Okay. Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, Ridwanullah alayhi, stayed as the Safir, the third Safir of the Imam, for 20 years. He stayed for 20 years as the Safir of the Imam, and he died at the year 326. Now the fourth representative of the Imam, his name is Abu al-Hasan Ali bin Muhammad al-Simari, or in other places, As-Sayrami. It is mentioned As-Sayrami, one of his names. He was one of the companions of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. And he stayed the representative of Imam al-Mahdi for only 3 years. So the first Safir was for 5 years, the second Safir was for 40 years, the third Safir was for 20 years, and the fourth Safir was for only 3 years. At the end of the 3 years, in the year 329, Imam al-Mahdi is sent his final letter to the fourth Safir, the final letter from the Imam, Ajallah Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif. He said, Ya Ali ibn Muhammad, A'zam Allahu ajra ikhwatika feek, that you are going to die. The Imam is telling him one of the unseen news that you will die. فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ مَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ سَتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Between you and death, there is 6 days. 6 days only between you and death. فاجمع أمرك ولا توصي إلى أحد فيقوم مقامك. Do not appoint anyone to replace you or to be the Safir after you. فقد وقعت الغيبة التامة. The major occultation started. فلا ظهور إلا بإذن الله Ta'ala dhikrah. There is no appearance except by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَذَلِكَ بَعْضَ طُولِ الْأَمَدِ وَقَصْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ وَامْتِلَاءِ الْأَرْضِ جُورًا. After a long time and the stubbornness of the heart, and when the earth will be filled with tyranny and with oppressors. وَسَيَأْتِي لِشِيعَةِ مَنْ يَدَّعِ الْمُشَاهَدَةِ. ألا فمن ادعى المشاهدة قبل خروج السفيان والصيحة فهو كذاب مفتر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. He said, and there will be a time for the Shia. The Imam is saying there will be some time for the Shia. A time will come for the Shia where people will claim that they saw me, or they will claim that they are seeing the Imam. Whoever claims this, know that he is a liar, or say about him that he is lying. Say about him that he is lying until the coming of As-Sufyani and the scream that will happen in the sky. Now the last point I'll mention very quickly, that we have some pious people and some scholars who saw the Imam, Ajallallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Should we call them liars? Of course not. The meaning of here, the meaning of seeing the Imam al-Mushahada is for those who claim to see the Imam and they say that the Imam appointed us as a representative for him. Or the Imam told us something and he asked us to tell the people, to inform the people about it. Right? Such person, we should call him a liar. But the person who sees the Imam and meet the Imam, there's no problem in that. And inshallah, when we get the signs of the reappearance of the Imam, we will speak about some of the groups that exist even today and claim that they are from Imam al-Mahdi or the sons of Imam al-Mahdi and so on. We'll speak about them at the time, inshallah. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih, fi hadhihi sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'a, waliyan wa hafidha, wa qa'idan wa nasira, ودليلا معينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.